In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. On May 8th of this year of grace, 2025, a man accepted the Petrine office and took on the name of Leo XIV. From the moment he accepted that office, he received the fullness of power attached to it and became truly the Bishop of Rome, successor of St. Peter, Supreme Pontiff, and servant of the servants of God. Nevertheless, since time immemorial, a coronation ceremony has followed soon afterwards, which shows this man to the world for what he is, by virtue of this most august office. That ceremony is what took place this very morning in the Eternal City. Although none of us could be there today in person, neither should any of us be oblivious to the details and significance of this ancient ceremony, before which all other coronations or inaugurations, be they of kings, prime ministers, or presidents, dwarf in comparison. Allow me to highlight for you briefly the parts of this ceremony which are of the greatest significance. First of all, like all other bishops who receive this object from the Pope, the Pope receives today the pallium. The pallium is a liturgical vestment made from the wool of lambs. It evokes the image of the Good Shepherd, who lays the lost sheep on his shoulders and recalls Peter's threefold response to our risen Lord's call to tend his lambs and sheep. It has been known since ancient times in both East and West. As one late Eastern father writes, the pallium represents the Savior who, encountering us like lost sheep, lifts us onto his shoulders by assuming our human nature in the incarnation. He divinized it, and he offers us to the Father through his death on the cross and exalts us through the resurrection. The pallium is a narrow band of this wool, which is worn over the chasuble, draped around the shoulders. It features two black pendants on the front and the back, and six black silk crosses, one on each pendant and four on the circular band, which goes over the shoulders. And it is adorned on the front and on the back with three pins, symbolizing the three nails of Christ's crucifixion. As far back as our historical records can indicate, the Pope has also received on this day the ring of the fisherman. The ring of the fisherman is a signet ring representing the seal of faith entrusted to Peter to confirm his brethren. And it is called the ring of the fisherman because Peter, having believed in the words of our Lord, drew the nets ashore from the boat and the miraculous catch of fish. And this is what is depicted on this ring, which for centuries was always used for the official seal of the Pope and correspondence and such. Today's liturgy begins inside St. Peter's Basilica. Accompanied by the patriarchs of the Eastern churches, the new Roman pontiff descends to the chapel of the tomb of St. Peter, where he pauses in prayer and then incenses the site. This moment underscores the fact that the Bishop of Rome is truly the successor of the Apostle Peter. That Prince of the Apostles who consecrated that very site with his blood. Two deacons then take the pallium, the ring of the fisherman, and the book of the Gospels, and proceed in procession toward the altar erected in the area around St. Peter's Square, which is how it takes place at least today. The Pope then joins in this procession while we hear the Laudes Regiae, what we sometimes call the Carolingian acclamations, invoking the intercession of holy pontiffs, martyrs, and saints of the Roman Church, alongside the refrain, which we know so well, Christus vincit, Christus regnat, Christus impera. Hanging from the central gate of the basilica is then a tapestry depicting the miraculous catch of fish. The rite then continues with blessing and sprinkling with holy water, as we do on every Sunday in Paschaltide, and then follows the Gloria and the Collect. Following the proclamation of the Gospel at Mass, three cardinals of the three orders, that is, cardinal deacons, priests, and bishops, each representing a different continent, approach the Pope. The first places the pallium upon him. The second offers him a special prayer of the assistance of our Lord upon the new Pope. And the third likewise prays invoking Christ, shepherd and bishop of our souls, who built the church upon the rock of Peter, who recognized him in turn as the Son of the living God, asking him to bestow the ring of the fisherman upon the new Pope, and then presents him with the ring. The Pope then blesses all present with the book of the Gospels as we hear the acclamation Ad multos annos, God grant you many years. Now you may be wondering if there is some other object or ceremony which needs to be mentioned, and if not, why is it missing? Indeed, at least from late antiquity, in addition to the ceremonies I have just described, the Pope was also crowned with a head covering, which developed over time into a triregnum, or triple crown, which took on the name recognized in all ancient languages as signifying the supreme royal diadem, the tiara. This was indeed a part of the papal ceremony until 1963, when Pope Paul VI received this crown, but chose not to wear it during his pontificate. And every pope since that time has omitted it from what is now commonly called the inauguration ceremony. It is important to note that this towering beehive of a crown was worn when the Pope sat on the throne of Peter and executed juridical acts, or at a variety of other public appearances. It was never worn during liturgical ceremonies as such. Whenever the Pope acts as high priest here on earth, he, like all other bishops, wears that pointed headdress called the mitre, which developed out of that same early tradition of coronation. This coronation of the Pope was never intended to be an exaltation of the individual who happened to be Pope at that time. As one French medieval commentator expressed so beautifully, we must understand that our holy fathers in faith, not only the supreme pontiffs, but also lesser bishops, have introduced these magnificent displays of horses, garments, and other exterior ornaments, which many people call pomp, not to increase their own glory, but to exalt Christ and his church, If they observe them with outward reserve and interior humility, they are not acts of vanity and vice, but virtue and merit. What is even more wonderful, and what we often fail to notice in pontifical ceremonies, is that even the mitre must be removed whenever the Supreme Pontiff, or any other pontiff, addresses God directly in prayer. However great the ceremonies he executes while acting in the person of Christ, solemn blessing, confirmation, ordination, when he says Oremus and beckons all of God's children to prayer, his head must be uncovered like that of any other Christian man. All of the elaborate pomp adorning the office of the papacy is meant to highlight this truth. This triple crown figure in shimmering robes, borne about on a litter, the sedia gestatoria, towering over all other earthly powers. These trappings were not intended to toast the frail man contained underneath. He, in fact, is all but eclipsed by this visible display of the office to which he has been elected. From the very first time that the newly elected pope is carried forth in this way, the haunting words are pronounced before him, "Sic transit gloria mundi," thus fades the glory of the world. We do not celebrate the man of this or that nationality or ethnic background, elected in this or that era. We see only the vicar of Christ, true God and true man, and the kingship he won on the cross, expressed there in Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, signifying a threefold kingship over all human affairs, spiritual, intellectual, and political. When he appears thus, the Pope is Peter, the rock upon which Christ has built his church. And so we find him bejeweled as the very temple of God. But when the Pope enters the temple of God to pray with and on behalf of God's people, he is, as it were, stripped of it all. If he is to celebrate Holy Mass, he dons the same vestments as any other sacred minister, each one signifying the wretchedness of his fallen state and the need to toil and sweat amidst the thorns and thistles of this vale of tears. We find him wearing the mitre in church, much as we see the simple priest wearing his beretta, like the priest preaching to you right now. A priest would never cover his head as he recites the canon of the Mass and pronounces the sacred words of consecration over the bread and wine. Neither would a bishop, not even the Bishop of Rome. Any man who participates in the eternal high priesthood of Jesus Christ by offering Holy Mass is priest indeed, but he is also victim, laid bare for immolation. Call the ceremony what you will, inauguration or coronation. A son of Adam has been crowned this day as Pope Leo XIV. No earthly power can uncrown him, for the promise made to Blessed Peter shall endure until the end of time. Leo XIV, mitred Bishop of Rome, has taken possession of the throne of Peter and now wears the ring of the fisherman. This morning, His Holiness addressed all peoples and nations with these words: "Look to Christ. Come closer to him. Welcome his word that enlightens and consoles. Listen to his offer of love and become his one family. In the one Christ, we are one." He made it clear that the Church of Christ cannot be anything other than a missionary church in this fallen world. Peace and unity can have no other foundation than Christ. Let us heed the call of our Holy Father, Pope Leo, and be a leaven of reconciliation, bringing that peace which the world can never give, a peace that comes only by following him who is the way, the truth, and the life. And let us pray with fresh fervor the words which are added to today's Holy Mass. O God, the shepherd and ruler of all the faithful, look down with favor on thy servant Leo, whom thou hast appointed shepherd over thy church. Grant, we beseech thee, that he may benefit by word and example those over whom he has set, that he may, along with the flock entrusted to him, attain unto eternal life through Christ our Lord. Amen.